sad. I just saw pictures posted today of Garrison's memorial service that was held. Nevada National Guard posted on their Facebook page a day ago. It says, soldiers from the 1st Squadron, 221st Cavalry, along with friends and family, gathered yesterday at the Clark County Armory to honor the memory of Staff Sergeant Robert Garrison Brown, who passed away on March 4th. Brown, a beloved son, brother, uncle, and friend, was born to Janelle and Cody Brown and was the 6th child of a large family. He is survived by his family and 3 cats, Cathew, Patches, and Mrs. Buttons. Preceding him were Cheryl Lee Brown, William Wynn Brown, and Curtis Taylor Brown. Known for his adventurous spirit, Brown traveled extensively, exploring multiple countries and continents. He had a passion for comedy, amateur sport craftsmanship, and adventurous photography, with his night sky photography particularly moving those who viewed it. As a staff sergeant in the Army National Guard and a proud CAV scout, Brown exemplified dedication to his country. He also had a caring nature, pursuing a career in nursing to help others. Brown's friends and family remember him for his sense of humor and ability to connect with others. His passing has left a void in their hearts. His memory serves as a reminder to cherish loved ones and prioritize compassion. The entire Nevada National Guard community shares in the sorrow of losing Staff Sergeant Robert Garrison Brown. We recognize the profound impact of his absence on our fellow members and the 221st Cavalry family, who were deeply affected by the loss of their trusted companion. If anyone requires assistance during this challenging period, please reach out for support. Counseling services are available through the state's behavioral health counselor at 702-856-9436, the state psychological health manager / therapist at 725-377-1683, and the state chaplain's office at 775-220-1524, or the suicide and crisis hotline at 988. I gotta tell you, looking at these pictures, it just breaks my heart. It's hard to not well up while seeing these devastating faces. The first image that pops up is Janelle sitting next to, I believe that's Hunter. And next to that, I think is Cody's mother, if I'm not badly mistaken, then Robin, then Cody. And David sitting next to Cody with Christine. And then next to her is Truly, I believe that's Isabel and Savannah. And in the back we have Garrison, Logan, his wife. I think we see Leon and Audrey behind as well. It's just devastating. It's, you know, and everyone handles grief differently. And I see some people are having words about, you know, that Robin is the one being consoled by Cody. But if, you know, I doubt Janelle would want him sitting next to her. As a parent, you know, I just can't imagine, and I'm not putting blame on anyone, but I can't imagine that she deep down doesn't have like a little bit of blame toward him. I mean, there's so many contributing factors to someone committing suicide. It's never one thing. I mean, and that's not something that people that commit suicide do into lightly, I don't believe. But in, I would just think in the back of her mind, she may have that nagging thought. And then there's Isabel and shoot, the other one looks so similar to me. I always get them confused, so I'm not. But I see the other one that's Isabel and, oh, boo, I'll think of her name later. McKelty is on the other side with Tony. And then there's Gwen with her wife and Mary. So of all the wives, Mary's on the other side, but they're all in the front row. And it's, oh, man. It was a good Looks like a good crowd was there. They did the gun salute. I assume, I don't know if he was cremated. I don't see any casket, of course. Because I'm sure he was buried a while ago, but this was the memorial service. Got a beautiful picture of him. Peyton and Hunter are standing behind the picture with the rest of the cavalry. Peyton, oh my god, he is a giant. He is so tall. Very, very handsome guy. But they've got these steps with his boots, Garrison's, his gun, and the hat on top. So very, very loving tribute. And I'm wondering if that isn't a box of his ashes that's on the table there. I don't know that for sure, but it looks like it could be. There's another picture of Garrison on the other side of this table. And, just so young to just give up. But you never know what's going through somebody else's head. You never know what they're going through. Especially with mental illness. Gosh, you know, I've got my issues with it as well. Luckily, have never acted on suicide, but I can understand why people would want to just not wake up anymore. It's not necessarily that people want to die, it's that they just don't want to live, if that makes any sense. There's been many times I thought, you know, if I fall asleep and don't wake up, that would be great. Of course, those are always fleeting. That's not something that's permanent in your mind. But if it happens enough, I can see how people would take their lives in their own hands. And it's just heartbreaking and sad. Especially when he is so talented. I mean, they mentioned his photography, and I was looking through his personal Instagram when he died. Beautiful shots. I mean, he went on to be a nurse, I think. He was the one that was a nurse. I think Hunter was a nurse, too. But also, gosh, photography, love to travel, animal lover. And it's just so sad. And I know it's gotta be just torture for Janelle. The look on her face is just, oof. And Christine as well. She's also just, their faces are, you could tell they've been crying, eyes puffy. Poor little Hunter sitting next to her, face is all red. It's just, it's too much. And, you know, Gabe, because he's such an emotional guy, I can only imagine pain that they're all individually, but also together, feeling as a family. It's just, it's heartbreaking. But it is glad to see that the whole family has gotten together to come and give their last respects at this memorial. All that to say, I'll post some of these pictures on YouTube if you are watching on that, or you'll already see them, and I'll try to put them on my podcast as well. But if you know anyone that's hurting in pain, you may not even know, because I never really told anybody when I was feeling at my worst. But if you suspect, talk to somebody. If you yourself are feeling this way, just give it another day. Talk to somebody if you can. I know I would have never called anybody either. But trust me, your loss to the world is greater than you realize it's going to be. So keep that in mind, no matter what you're going through. Medication helped for me, but a lot of people don't even try to go after help. But I think, you know, with trial and error, I mean, nothing helped me right away. But over time, I think I've got a good mix of meds. And, you know, it's not an exact science. A lot of it's trial and error. Some of the meds I tried made everything worse. But finally, I've got some that are seeming to work. They all have side effects. Like this one's made me gain weight. Yay! But to not have crying fits, and I love when people are like, well, just, you know, get over it. It's depression. It's fine. Just smile. If it was that easy, don't you think we would all do that? Have a little compassion when someone's actually going through. And anxiety and depression aren't just being a little sad or being a little nervous. That's a gross understatement. When you're going through anxiety and depression, I, lucky enough to have both, yay, the anxiety is horrible. It is absolutely, your skin's crawling. You feel like you're going to explode. You can't be around people. Like, going to the store is almost insurmountable. Driving a car is difficult. Depression trumps it. You can't get out of bed. You literally cannot get out of bed. It's like a magnet is holding you down in your bed, and you sleep so much. I personally don't love that I've suffered with both those things, and time, you don't even know how long you've been doing it. I remember there was a period of time in my 20s, early 2000s, I don't remember really ever getting out of bed. Was it a few days? Was it a week? Was it a month? I don't know. Time just was irrelevant. I would wake up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I would eat a couple of bites of something, would watch a little TV, and then by 5 p.m., I was asleep again. But then conversely, sometimes I would be just struck, I am now, with insomnia, where no matter what I do, things that would work for a normal person don't work for me. And I have to take something, or I cannot fall asleep. I've even tested a few times. I thought, well, maybe if I just, you know, I'll go to bed when I'm tired. And the sun would be coming up. You know, I'd finally have to take something to go to sleep. Benadryl got to where it wouldn't work, and all sleep pills are pretty much as Benadryl, the ones I've seen. And melatonin does nothing. That's just a placebo to me. It does nothing. Every herb I've tried, everything. Xanax helped for a while, and then finally I was put on Seroquel. Thank goodness. It made me a zombie for a little while, but now it's fine. But I have to, like, if I don't take it, like, think, oh man, I've been sleeping so good this last month, I don't even need this. And try to skip a night, can't go to sleep. So, I don't know what my brain is doing. I don't know if it's mental, I don't know if it's menopause, if it's a combination, but I've been suffering from insomnia for 20 years now, and that's frustrating and exhausting. And that's, I don't know if I can contribute my anxiety and depression to that, possibly. My old doctor thinks that I may be bipolar. Yay! Even more crazy. But crazy does run in my family, so it makes sense. But there's so many, especially men don't want to go see a doctor at all, let alone for therapy. And I don't know how well therapy worked for me the times I've gone, but the meds have helped, and I've finally learned to accept that I'm going to have to take pills probably the rest of my life. And I finally found a mix that works, and that is monumental. When my doctor first thought I had anxiety and described it to me and started prescribing stuff, I thought, you're crazy. I don't have anxiety. So we found something that fixed, and I was like, oh, wow, okay. Then depression. Oh, I don't have depression, blah, 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 blah. Then I take this, fixed. Not fixed all the way, of course, but, you know, definitely life better. Then when she said bipolar, I'm like, that's like for really crazy people. I'm not really crazy. Then she puts me on Seroquel, she gave me Vraylar, but that's super expensive, so I'm on Seroquel now. And they're called antipsychotics, which that's a frightening sounding name, isn't it? Yeah. Antipsychotics, that's what I'm on. But I gotta tell ya, it's working. I mean, when COVID started in 2020, I mean, I wasn't well. I would have like these massive panic attacks like I had when I was in my 20s. For a while, I didn't have any at all. Like, when I was living in Los Angeles, didn't have any at all. Amazing. Here I am, another state, another life. And I've had my little prescription for Xanax in my wallet. This is when they still wrote on a pad your prescription. But I never even got it filled because I didn't need it. And then, boom, out of nowhere, I need it again. During COVID, I mean, I was afraid I was going to get evicted. I hadn't worked in forever. And if you're living in cities, I know some people are like, oh, well, these people are making more than they were making working. Well, I don't know who those people are. Those people weren't me. If you're living in any kind of city, what's that $600 a week that we were getting? Yeah, that doesn't even pay for your rent, hardly. So, I was a lot of rocking back and forth. No shit. Rocking back and forth. I would have these, I don't know, like hyperventilating almost, where I'd have to put my head between my knees. It was so intense. And just breathing like, when they said, do you have trouble breathing? I'm like, yeah. Which I do for a number of reasons, asthma, heart condition, but this is, out of left field, very awful, awful. And the people that have never had it, I hope you don't. I would never wish this on anybody. But for people to dismiss it so easily, saying things like, you know, just get over it. Just, you know, do this, just do that, just think about something else. I have to laugh at those people. If it was that simple, don't you think we all would be doing that? Don't you think we've thought of that? But no, it's not that easy. It's not that easy. Which therapy works great for some people, and I highly recommend it. My first time going to therapy, bless her heart, she was sweet, sweet lady. I think I saw her for a year or more. All that came out of it was just me hating my family more than I did before. It brought up things that I think I'd pushed down. But yeah, it made me not want to ever go around my family again. Long story short, I will never go around my family again except for my daughter. She's the only one I care about. But sometimes that's another thing. Sometimes you've got to cut toxic relationships out of your life, even if they are family. I know as a parent, you will always love your child. You will never cut yourself off from them. But sometimes, like if it's an aunt or if it's a toxic parent, sometimes it is best to sever ties. Just for your own mental health, let alone emotional. It's just the psychological, you can't even imagine. It's, again, I don't wish my conditions on anybody. But there's so many that are going through it and so many that don't know that that's what's going on. Because I got to tell you, when I started having anxiety, I was going to the doctor all the time. I thought something was wrong with me. Something was physically wrong with me, and I was trying to figure it out. And after all the tests, the blood work, this, that, and the other, nothing was coming back. And that's when the doctor had, I think it was a list of 23 questions. And I answered 19 of them yes. And that was a survey for generalized anxiety disorder. Thank you very much. And then, of course, I have the generalized depression, or major depressive disorder is what it's called. Also, I have seasonal affect disorder, where, again, you don't get enough vitamin D from sunlight. And yeah, I don't know how people can live up north with very little sun. It would absolutely make me crazy, for real crazy, not figuratively speaking. I would literally become crazier. But, oh, geez, you know, again, so many people don't want to talk about it. I don't care, you know, I mean, if maybe what I'm going through could help somebody else, might as well. I don't think it's any secret that I'm a little nutty, so might as well. You know, there's nothing I can do about it except take my pills. But, again, if my story could help somebody to not do anything drastic, to maybe go seek some help, knowing that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, even though you don't feel like it at the time, I'm happy to tell you anything and all about me, just to help that. Because I know I went through some just horrible, horrible time around 2000 to 2003. And then again, starting around 2019 to now. So, yay, every 20 years I'm gonna be crazy. So that's fun. But everyone's goes through things, some to other extents than others, some more drastic than others, but definitely, there's no stigma in seeking help. At least, not like it used to be. And just hug your loved ones, because you don't know how long they're going to be here. My daughter messaged me today saying that a friend of hers died yesterday of a drug overdose. Here's a girl that's maybe 30, and she's got a daughter, and now she's dead. You know, she experimented with drugs, and she'd done pills evidently on and off forever, and seems like she was maybe getting to some harder stuff. And just like that, you think you can handle things, you think your body, oh no, it's old story. I think that was a Phoenix, River Phoenix's issue, and among many others, people, where, you know, they get off stuff for a while, then they start using again, and they think they can use the same amount that they did when they stopped, but you gotta baby step back into it. That's why we've lost John Belushi, I believe. That's why we lost Chris Farley. It's why we've lost River Phoenix. Even my daughter said she is so tired of losing her friends to overdoses. And that's a whole different animal altogether in itself, too. And it's so scary. I'm glad that I don't do drugs other than what my doctor makes me take. Just hearing the fear of fentanyl being put in marijuana. I mean, people are dying smoking pot that they don't realize is laced with anything. I mean, these are frightening times we're living in, people. So if you're gonna do drugs, make sure it's from a trusted source. And even then, you can't be 100%. That's the only reason I'm kind of like, I think maybe the country should make pot legal. That way, at least there's some sort of, you know, maybe some sort of regulation of it. But then, of course, anytime you get the government involved in anything, they just fuck it all up. It would be nice if the government actually helped us out. But, you know, I don't want to hold my breath on that one. Anyway, all that to say, we are not promised tomorrow, whether it be an accident, or be at our own hand, or be it just our health. So take every day as a gift, because we don't know if we're going to have tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen with the world. We don't know what's going to happen with our health. We don't know what's going to happen if an accident were to happen in a matter of minutes. We don't know. I'm sure no one expects to die in a terrible accident or in an overdose, but it happens all the time, every day. So love the one you're with, hug them tight, and I will talk to you later.